Chala Perik Beis, Mishnah Beis 2:2, we continue to discuss the topic of earth that comes, like soil that comes from Chutz La'aretz, outside of the land of Israel, in the first part of this Mishnah. But it's a little confusing, and please don't be confused. What we're about to discuss has nothing to do with the halachas of Chala at all. We established in the previous Mishnah that Chala doesn't really matter where it grew, it matters where you actually need the dough. And here we're going to talk about produce grown in a ship where the soil in the ship was put there from Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, but the ship is now resting in Israel, and the ship, let's say, according to the Baruch Tanur, has holes in its hull, and there's produce that is implanted in the soil in the ship, which is now growing in the land of Israel. Like, say, the ship is on a river or in a river in Israel. The question is, does the produce that grows from that soil have the status of Peros Eretz Yisrael, meaning it's a subject to Trumas HaMaisros because it's connected to the ground of Israel, or no, since the soil came from Chutz La'aretz, it's considered to be exempt from Trumas HaMaisros. So the Mishnah says, Afar Chutz La'aretz, if you have soil that came from outside of Israel, Sheba B'Sfina La'aretz, that has now entered into Eretz Yisrael via the hull of a ship, and the, according to the Baruch Tanur, the ship is now sitting, the Meiri really, the ship is sitting in a river bed, or a river, in Eretz Yisrael, and the ship's hull is perforated. So therefore we're talking something that has the status, so to speak, of a atzitz nakuv, a perforated flower pot, because there's a hole in it, says the Baruch Tanur. So then, chayav b'maishlus u'b'shvias, the fruit that grows in such soil is still subject to the regular trumas u'maishlus halachas, because we look at this earth and this plant is drawing its nourishment from the land of Israel through those holes, so to speak. That's how the Baruch Tanur learns. At least according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you'd have a wooden-hulled ship, there would be no need to have perforation at all, meaning as long as it's made out of wood, the plant can draw some nourishment through the wood, if you will, that connects it back to the land of Israel. Fine. Now, the Mishnah continues by saying, Amar Yehuda, Amasai, when is this true that the plants that grow in the soil that came from Chutz La'aretz, that's now sitting inside the hull of a ship that's perforated, has the status of Eretz Yisrael produce? Bezman shasfina gosheshes, provided, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the boat is now run aground. It's touching, the hull of the ship is touching the river bed itself. It's not floating upon the river in Eretz Yisrael. Were it floating on the river and there'd be a divider of water between the hull of the ship and the ground, then, says Rabbi Yehuda, it would be considered to be disconnected, and the produce that grows in that ship hull would not be subject to Trumas HaMaisros, at least not Midoraisa. So, period. Now, there's a general rule that whenever the Mishnah says, Am Rabbi Yehuda Amasai, when Rabbi Yehuda adds something saying, when does this apply, dot, 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 the rule is, in general, it's a Gemara in Erevin Daf Pei Beis, 82, that he, Rabbi Yehuda, is not coming to disagree with the Tanakam, he is just simply coming to clarify the sheet of the Tanakam. And that indeed is how the Rambam learns, and that would be then the Rambam paskins lahalacha like Rabbi Yehuda, that indeed the ship has to be touching the ground, because he holds there's no machlokas at all. It's worth noting that there is a sugya that covers this Gemara, this Mishnah here. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are arguing, and that's how, for example, the Rush learns this Mishnah, and that being the case, presumably, according to those Rishonim, the halacha should follow the Tanakama over the opinion of the single Rabbi Yehuda. However, again, the halacha is l'maisa, is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the Rambam paskins, and let's say there is no machlokas then at all. Okay. Second part of the Mishnah is something totally new. We're now talking about dough that has been kneaded with flour plus fruit juice instead of flour plus water. So the Mishnah says, Isa shenilosha b'mei peros. If you have dough that has been kneaded with fruit juice as opposed to water, Chayavis b'chala, so the obligation to take chala is there anyways. At least that's the opinion of our Mishnah here. It comes out in the Rishonim that there seems to be a machlokas tanaim on this point, and Rabbi Akiva disagrees and holds that if you use fruit juice instead of water, it's exempt from the chala obligation, and it seems indeed that it's very likely that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that it doesn't... it's not good enough. Mei Peros does not affect the challah requirement. So the halacha seems very possibly to not be like the Stam Mishnah here. Nevertheless, that's what the Mishnah says. And further says the Mishnah, if you have flour and fruit juice kneaded together, so besides for needing to take challah, also v'ne'echelas b'yadayim m'suavos, that challah could be eaten even with unwashed hands. Now, you'll recall that one of those 18 gzeros that were famously set aside, set and established by Beis Shammai was that stam yadayim, unwashed hands, hands you don't know to be clean, have a status of being shniyim l'tuma, a secondary tuma status. And that being the case, you have to always wash your hands prior to touching truma or mice or challah, because truma or challah can be puzzled, be invalidated, and by becoming a shlishi. Now, when you take foodstuffs and you wet it, that foodstuffs become susceptible to tuma and can become tummy, and that would be the case here with the challah. The problem is that if what's the liquid that's doing the wetting is not from the list of the Zayin Mashkin, those seven liquids that do effect heksher, that do ready food to become tummy, so then the food remains impervious to tuma. So that is, say, water, which is one of the seven, is normally used for kneading, and if you knead flour and water together, by the water touching the flour, it makes the whole mixture now ready to become tummy. And that being the case, you'd have to wash your hands always, because your hands are shniyim, second-degree status tuma, which would be posel, invalidate the truma or challah. But fruit juice, meperos, is not on the list of seven. And that being the case, such challah, at least according to the Tanna Kamma, is required to be taken, and yet it is impervious to tuma still. It can't become tummy because it hasn't had hechsher, it hasn't been touched by one of the seven liquids. Those seven liquids, for what it's worth, can be remembered by the mnemonic Yad Shachat Dam. Those seven letters, Yad, stands for Yayin and Dvash. Yayin is wine. Dvash is honey. We're talking here about bee honey, not date honey, but bee honey in the Mishnah, Dvash. Then Shachat stands for Shemen, which is olive oil, Chalav, which is milk, and Tal, which is dew. And then Dam, Dalet Mem, stands for Dam, blood, and Mem, water. So that's the list of seven liquids that can be machshir, that can ready food to become tummy. Not on the list is apple juice or whatever it is. And that being the case, if you use apple juice or whatever fruit juice you're talking about, so then it is not machshir, does not ready the food to become tummy. And that being the case, one could eat this challah without washing his hands, because even though his hands are shein l'tumah, they're tummy, but the tumah would not spread to the challah dough, because the challah dough has not become wetted in a way that's hukshar, that makes it ready to be makabel tumah.